Welcome back to Head Games on Sirius Satellite. We'll be joined by CBS, another one of your CBS compatriots, Solomon Wilcots, who you need to work with on your golf swing. I know it's good, but this guy is amazing, Peter Kostas. But before we do that, let's talk about a little bit more about tackling and get to the AFC versus the NFC. Here's Tom Jackson from Friday's show.
I talk to coaches now, and this is a product of the game we play now. You cannot afford to tackle with guys the way we tackle. You can't practice it. And what is it that you believe you're going to do well that you don't practice? There are not many things in life that you will do well that you don't practice. And so tackling is like anything else. If you're going to be a good tackling team, and I'm not talking about killing your teammates, but I have seen when the Baltimore Ravens, all the way from their Super Bowl year, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing now, that team practices at a speed that's pretty intense. They don't knock guys to the ground, but they're running at people. They're giving them a good
close
bump
to game
when they
speed.
Hit them. Huh?
Close to game speed.
Yeah. Close as we can get without hurting each other.
Killing. There's Tom Jackson. What Baltimore, what other teams do you think are doing what's necessary to make sure that the tackling side, their defensive side, the fundamentals are going to be consistent down the push in December?
Well, I think anybody who knows Marty Schottenheimer, you know Marty.
Full pads on Friday, baby.
Yeah, he's even reluctant to take the pads off his guys in San Diego, but that's why you see that defense is now going to get sharp. I mean, they had given up a lot of points for a couple of weeks, but they were missing Luis Castillo. They were without Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips, but they're getting their guys back. But you know Marty. It's going to always continue to rep out those things. And that's why you have a player like Donnie Edwards, as long as he's played for Marty, he's been one of the highest tackling linebackers in the National Football League consistently year in and year out.
Okay, let's switch to the AFC versus the NFC. We had Larry Weisman on the show yesterday, and I asked him, of these NFC teams stuck at 6-6, who has the shot? Best shot.
I still like the New York Giants. I don't see why they can't win at least three of their last four. You know, they played the toughest schedule. They've had a bunch of injuries. They acquitted themselves well against Dallas. They just got to stop doing dope stuff and focus on one play at a time.
Sorry about that. You know, it's interesting how they are talking about Dallas and the Chargers as maybe being the two best playing teams in the league, when in reality Dallas barely won that game against the Giants. Who are your picks at 6-6 in the NFC that are going to finish strong?
Well, I think in the NFC, I think Atlanta's going to finish strong. Carolina, I think, is going the opposite direction. The Giants, it remains to be seen how they can recover. I think the Eagles are also another player. Since Jeff Garcia is going to play well at quarterback, they can really get it going. But I really think the consistency relies on the defensive side. If you're healthy, if the Giants can get healthy, get Strahan back, get O.C. Manure back in the lineup, I think the Giants really can make a push.
What about, and it's interesting, too, when you compare the two divisions, and a lot of that can be analyzed by the strength of the quarterback position, Phillip Rivers, of course, and Drew Brees, who's brought some strength to the NFC. When you compare the difference between the two divisions, the two conferences, we have a spate of teams at 7-5 in the AFC and all these teams at 6-6. Do you think the AFC is really that much better right now?
Well, I really believe so. I think the quarterbacks, the consistency at quarterback is better. When you have a conference as Tom Brady, you've got a Ben Roethlisberger who's already won a Super Bowl. You got young Phillip Rivers coming onto the scene. You've got Carson Palmer and Peyton Manning. You've got, I think, just a higher level and more consistency at quarterback. Take your top teams in the NFC, Seattle. Matt Hasselbeck's probably one of your best quarterbacks in the conference. He's missed a lot of games this year. Rex Grossman, the top team in the NFC with Chicago. Their quarterback is probably the least consistent of any team over on the NFC side. Tony Romo, a journeyman, or a guy who's a young player who's starting to burst on the scene, he seems to be the best quarterback on the NFC side, and he's a guy that wasn't even starting at the beginning of the year. So I think that's where you're at right now. That's why you're tending to struggle a little bit. And if Drew Brees didn't defect from the AFC and join the Saints, I think you would be that much worse off at the quarterback position on the NFC side.
Hey, we're joined by Peter Kostas. And, Peter, I know that you're used to being asked about golf, but I thought we'd have a little fun here and ask both of you the question. If your quarterback is Rex Grossman, who has thrown 14 picks, turned the ball over 17 times in three games, even though they're 10-2, even though Lovie Smith is right behind him, would he remain your quarterback, Peter Kostas?
Hello, how are you? Nice to talk to you too, Nick.
Nice to talk to you.
Let's start off with a hot button item. You know, I mean, it depends on whether Lovie Smith feels like this kind of play that has resulted in victories right now in the regular season will result in victories in the playoffs. And I don't think it will. So I would have to explore the possibility of putting in Brian Griese, see what the team does. You could always go back to Grossman, but I don't think that this performance that we're seeing lately that is going to bear much fruit in the playoffs.
Solomon, before we let you go, what do you do in this situation if you're Lovie Smith? I mean, it's obvious he's going to stick with him, would you?
Yeah, I would stick with him, but I would tell him, I could tell you right now, I would say, well, you cannot just throw the ball up for grabs. You got to start making better decisions. And I would hone that, and I would grill him in practice every day. And I would, as soon as you start doing it, then we'd have to make sure that it's something that he has to discontinue that in terms of just reluctantly throwing the ball up for grabs. He makes those better decisions. I'm telling you right now, the kid's a very good quarterback. He's got all the tools and all the talents, and he plays with a fearlessness that you like. He's just going to have to really value the ball much more.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Solomon, and Peter, I want you to listen to this because this is about that difficult question of coaching, you know, how you coach a player, and this is something, Solomon, you said just a couple weeks ago about the way Chicago's handling this young quarterback, Mr. Grossman.
I like the fact that Lovie Smith allows this kid to go out and play with the kind of fearlessness that's going to allow him to grow. You can tell he's playing with a great deal of freedom given to him by his coaches, given to him by even the teammates. Even when he makes a mistake, the teammates don't get down on him because they know there's going to be a learning curve. They know that he's still growing. And the fact that he's allowed to go out and make those kind of mistakes, knowing that he's not going to get yanked, not going to get chewed out by his teammates and his coaches, I think it lessens the learning curve. This is a guy who's going to be playing, I think, at the top of his game more consistently, much sooner than some other quarterbacks who have to look over their shoulder from week to week.
So, you know, as you now have 2 weeks of benefit, he's continued to turn the ball over. The learning curve is an uneven one. Solomon, do you take any of that back now?
Well, you know what? I think what you have to do is you got to install some mechanisms that's going to allow him to still go out and play with freedom, but not with reckless abandon. So in terms of what I said before, I'm still consistent with what I was saying, but I think as now that you've seen over the last few weeks, he's continued to throw interceptions, I think now you have to taper it back a little bit more. You still give him freedom, but you cannot allow a quarterback to play with that kind of reckless abandon. And so I think there's a fine line between the two, and I think that's where the coaches have to help him to be able to find that, where he can still go out and be effective and not play scared. You cannot have a player playing that way.
Hey, and I will say this for Lovie Smith, as I would say for Marty Schottenheimer. The loyalty publicly that your coach shows for you goes a long way. And when Lovie Smith says, he's our quarterback, he's our quarterback, he's our quarterback, that sends a message not just to Rex Grossman, to the rest of the team about the depth of the roots of his support for them, and it's gonna pay off, I think.
But they're still winning. They're 10-2. They just wrapped up a division title. And we're talking about benching the quarterback. So, I think Lovie has all the ammo on his side where he can continue with this. Had they lost three
as
in a row,
as they win.
And, you know, I think it'd be more difficult to do that.
Well, we're going to let you win out and go Christmas shopping, Solomon Wilcots. But as always, we really appreciate you coming on the show, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me, Nick.
Thank you, sir. You're the best. Peter Kostas, as you look at the example in football of a Rex Grossman, I mean, it's a little bit like those days, those rare days when a Tiger Woods hits, you know, 15, 16 shots into the woods, literally, and yet still finds a way to win. As long as he's winning, do you correct that player or do you let him find his way out of the woods? So
well, one's an individual sport, Nick, and one's a team sport. So you're kind of comparing apples and oranges. I think the problem with, I'm a golf pro. What do I know? I play football like a lot of kids did growing up. But what I see with Rex Grossman, to me, the greatest asset a quarterback can have is a pair of eyes that slows the games down in pressure situations. Dan Marino always told me this, that when the game got going really fast and it was really tense,
it slowed down for him. And right now, I don't think there's any question that the game is speeding up for Rex Grossman. And you got to figure out a way, if possible, to get him to slow the game down. But, you know, this is the same Rex Grossman that I saw at Florida making the same mistakes. And so I have to wonder if he has the ability with his eyes to see the game in a way that he can slow it down and give himself an opportunity to make the right decisions. Those poor decisions are coming because he didn't have time to make the right one.
Well, you may be a golf expert, but that's really great insight. And to me, likewise, there is a direct relationship in terms of slowing the game down with your offensive line if they give you time to throw. So Michael Vick, who's withstood a firestorm of criticism, these offensive linemen have been giving him maybe a half second to a second less than he was earlier in the year. And mm-hmm. if you look at any quarterback out there, when you don't have time, you're going to rush the ball. So when we come back, Peter, let's switch to that game you do know, golf. Talk about who should win, big surprise, the Player of the Year awards, and who should win some of the other awards, and who are the people that you believe have the best shot to close that enormous gap between number two and number one in golf. Listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. We'll be right back with Peter Costas. He's not Bob Costas, by the way. He's Peter Costas, the golf guru from CBS, in just a minute.